Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all, those watching online as well. We handed out water bottles yesterday at the park, Centennial Park. Just a quick update on that. It was wet. And so I think you all saw the rain coming down, and but we gave out a bunch of water bottles. Actually, the Pentecostal church that was beside us, they were handing out freezies. We were handing out water bottles. And so it was a challenging day, to say the least, in terms of that. But it was good to be there and see people for those who helped. Help with that event. Thank you very much for your time, and it was good to be out there. We had some hot chocolate to keep us warm, and we were looking good. So today we're in, again, our series, Listen Up Church, which again has been going on for a while, and we'll be wrapping that up fairly quickly here in the next couple of weeks, so just be aware of that. And as we dive into this morning, and as you've come today, as Jocelyn mentioned earlier, what was your week like? How are you feeling? And I'm not sure where you're at, but I pray that as you've come, that you are encouraged and always open to the work of the Holy Spirit. I know I need that in my life every single day, and it's important for us to be open as the Lord leads us. We don't want to be people that think we've arrived, or we think we have all the answers, or we think that we can't learn and grow. It's imperative for every single one of us to be open to that, because once we close that door of growth through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're in trouble. So keep that in mind as well. So our text this morning is Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, and they should be on the screen as well. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn there as well. It's good to read your Bible in the church. If you're doing that still, amen, great. If you're not, I know our devices have kind of taken over Bible and scripture reading, and I often have debated whether or not to even have scripture on screen to force y'all to bring your Bibles. A little bit. So it's that thing, but we also want to have the word up front as well. So let's read together Philippians 4. Read that for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. So the question I have for you this morning for all of us is, what do you rejoice in every single day? As Paul wrote in this letter, he was actually in a Roman prison, and when Paul's sharing this, imagine the situation and what he was dealing with and what he was going through, and he talks of rejoicing in the Lord always. As a matter of fact, he says it twice there as a reminder for us. And Paul wrote Philippians for many reasons, but the theme of the letter is joy. The word joy and rejoice show up 16 times in the letter. It's not a long letter, so 16 times is quite significant. And it talks about prayer and suffering and mutual concern, but Paul's communicating joy. And what does that mean for us as Christ followers? And joy is found in Christ, and he is our model, and Paul is reminding us that we need to lean into this idea, this attitude of joy and understanding what that means. And I know in our day and age, especially recently here for the community we have, we've been evacuated, the flooding, there's been a lot going on for people and other situations that people are going through that aren't even shared. And it's hard to sometimes find joy in situations. But the challenge for us is not to let the circumstances of our life steal our joy in Christ. Because the joy in the Lord is an attitude. It's actually a place we sit and knowing the glory of who God is, that no matter what happens in our life, we are going to be steadfast because God is steadfast. It's not based upon a feeling. It's not based upon happiness, because I've mentioned this before. Happiness essentially means you're happy because of the things that are happening in your life, good circumstances. New car, new job, new house, new clothes. But the feeling of that will soon waver and dissipate. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's important to understand that as well. I remember many years ago, I wrote a book. I didn't write a book, sorry. I read a book called Holy Sweat, it was called. And it's not a workout book, but it was about the joy of the Lord. And this gentleman named Tim Hansel wrote it. He passed on now. And it was probably one of the most profound books I've ever read on joy and what it means to have an attitude in Christ that is focused on joy. So the hope of this morning is that, as Paul is talking to Philippians, that their minds are also focused on joy as well, and their minds are the same as Christ. And that's what we're called to have as well, that we think about Christ and what he went through, his incarnation, his obedience, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. And one day, we will all acknowledge who Christ is and stand before him. And to have the mind of Christ is important, because that's where joy can come in as well. To recognize what Jesus went through and his faithfulness to the Father, he continued to have joy in the midst of very difficult situations. And Philippians 2 is a great source of encouragement for us. And I'm going to read some verses from there. And I want you to understand and just take these verses in. And it's a reminder of how we're called to be like Jesus. And it talks about, again, our mind being focused on Christ. And when our mind is focused on Christ and the joy of the Lord, the things in our life that come won't necessarily knock us down. We'll be able to fight through because our minds are focused on Jesus, and we want to be like Christ when it comes to our minds. So let me read some scripture in Philippians 2. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let's pause there for a second. How well do we do that in our lives? You know, how well do we do that? Do we consider our lives and how we live? Are we selfish in our ambition, or conceited, or arrogant in even very subtle ways? Or are we considering others in our life by showing humility? That each of us look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Having this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. You know, again, just look at Christ's attitude and his coming as a servant and understanding what he was called to do. And being in fact in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so as we think about this and our idea and how we live our lives and our attitude, I pray that the scripture this morning would challenge us to have our minds like Christ, to consider others better than ourselves, to show humility, to love one another, and to recognize that, again, scripture tells us that every knee will bow. And that's a powerful thing for us to consider this morning. And as Paul is continuing to talk, he talks about a lot of things here. And a verse I want to read to you, and Paul says this, and this idea of righteousness of Christ as well, that Paul had a lot of accolades in life, but he considered Jesus the main thing. And that's why he had so much joy in his life as well. Says this in scripture, indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Jesus, I am the Lord. Right there is enough for us to consider. Again, Paul says, indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish, in order that I may gain be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. So again, the Apostle Paul, he did many things. But what's interesting about the Apostle Paul, he considered everything he's done worthless, complete rubbish, as a matter of fact, he calls that, compared to knowing Christ. And that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? And for us, too, as we think about the joy of the Lord and the things we chase after, what do we consider worthy in our life? What do we consider that is really important to us? Because if we're going to follow Christ and if we're going to live for him, we need to rely on his righteousness in our life that will lead to a life of joy, that will lead to a life of hope, And this joy perspective, as we think about, regardless of our circumstance or surroundings, regardless of what's going on, we completely focus on God. And then we have this peace, as Scripture talks about earlier, as I mentioned, this peace that surpasses all understanding. Like, when you think about that, it doesn't even make sense that in the midst of trouble and tribulation, there's a steadfast confidence in who you are because of Jesus. In the midst of that, people are watching you and observing you and your struggle. And they see a steadfastness in you, and they're going, this makes completely no sense to me. I watch your life. I see what you're going through. You're going through so much problems and trouble in this world, and yet there's something about you that is holding you together. And for a non-believer, and even for some Christians, there's a missing out of this. This obedience to understand that it doesn't make sense we have peace in the midst of our circumstance, but Jesus gives us that. And a joyful Christian will actually reflect a healthy relationship with Jesus as well. When we have joy in the Lord, we're more prone to live for the gospel and live for the good news and share the good news because we know what it's done for us. And Paul again emphasized for every believer to rejoice, and he said it twice. That's how important it is for us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoicing in the Lord isn't about having this goofy grin on our face every single day and trying to fake it till we make it. But this idea that we have a steadfast in Jesus. And you've heard this before, but it's a good reminder for every single one of us in the world we live in today that the enemy can come and rob our joy. We can allow circumstances and other people rob us of our joy. And it's important for us to know that while we can rejoice in the Lord, the times that come that are difficult and challenging, we know full well that Christ is walking with us. Now, when I consider this word joy, and we think about Christ followers as well, you know, as Christ followers, again, it's not about having a smile every single moment of your life, but I think there needs to be more of an outpouring of joy in our life as Christians. I think sometimes, if we're being really honest, Christians can be very grumpy and very judgmental. And I could continue on the list. And you probably can think of somebody like that. Christ follower, goes to church, reads the Bible, but boy, they're grumpy. They're hard to be around. And you can't think of that person, maybe it's you. Maybe that's you this morning. That perhaps that there isn't a joy of the Lord in your life, and Christ is not reigning in your life, not living in your life. And Christ hasn't taken over every part of who you are. And consider that today, because I think it's important as we live our lives for Jesus that the world can see that we have hope. It's like when we sing worship songs to talk about the hope of Christ and the joy of the Lord, the peace of Christ. And often, and I'm guilty of this as well, often our body language tells us completely the opposite of what we're actually singing and saying. And there's a void in that. To consider that this morning, check your heart and ask that question about where do you have in the Lord when it comes to the joy of the Lord. Do you have that? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So as we think about this, and it also talks about this idea how we treat one another and our personal rights, and Christ embodied so much gentleness and hope and joy in dealing with people. And for us to have joy in the Lord, one of the ways that will actually show itself is how we treat other people. How well do we do that? Do we have good conversations? And we consider that. And when Scripture talks here too that the Lord is near, how many of us need to be reminded of that today? I was having conversations last week with somebody about faith and how this person has mentioned they don't feel God anymore. They don't know His presence anymore. See, faith is not a feeling. And I think the church has entered into this thought life that we have to feel good all the time. We have to feel God's presence to know Him. And that's just not true. It's walking in faith, knowing full well that God is still there in the midst of our pain. You may not sense Him. You may not feel Him. You may not have an experience with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean God has given up on us. That's why we're called to read the Scriptures. to lean into the Bible, to walk in faith and in trust. The Bible talks about how it's impossible to please God without faith. And we need to know that. We need to walk that way as well. We know that when Scripture tells us the Lord is near, that his nearness means something to us. And also remind that one day he will be coming. Jesus will come back and we will receive a reward in this life that we have lived. But in between time, we live in joy. Verse 6 talks about joy as well. And see, joy needs to replace anxiety in our life. Now, it doesn't mean we can't have anxiety. But here's the thing. When we have anxiety and struggle and worry, and it rules our life, it captures us in such a way that it imprisons us, that we're more worried and all of a sudden questioning Jesus because of his anxiety. See, anxiety is real. It's a part of our life. But in the midst of our anxiety, we have to be very clear to understand that we can't let it keep us in bondage. And that's why we have conversations with one another. That's why we support one another. That's why we look to the Word. That's why we think about the Apostle Paul being in prison and he's talking about the joy of the Lord. Even in those prison bars, sitting in that cell, his joy was still in Christ. And he was in chains. And many of us are in chains each day because of our sin, because of our attitude. And those things hold us back. And we worry so much that our hearts struggle day to day, and we're anxious, and we're worried. And Jesus warned us and told us that we shouldn't worry, that we shouldn't allow our hearts to be discouraged that way. And I know we all go through this, but we talk about peace, that peace comes from Christ. It's a provision for us. It's an understanding that in the midst of our pain, Christ is walking with us. And if you've come to this morning and you're feeling anxious, I am not saying that what you're going through isn't real. But what I'm saying is we have to figure out if it's causing us to be in bondage and causing us to stay still in life, and it's completely overwhelming us. And if you're there, you need to reach out. You need to ask for prayer. You need to look at the Scriptures as well and be reminded that Christ is still walking with you. He is not giving up on you. And I hear that often from believers. And it discourages me when I hear that. Because the Bible tells us clearly he is with us till the end of the age, and the age will never end. So we walk in the hope of that, knowing full well. I've had enough circumstances in my life where it'd be difficult, and you have as well. And we wonder where Christ is, but he's still there. And don't let Satan or anyone else whisper lies to you to say, God isn't real. God's dead. He's not with you in your circumstance. He is. He's walking with you. So lean into the joy of the Lord. So as we think about this, and again, this idea of keeping our minds on Christ, if we keep our minds on Christ, our minds will be protected. And this peace we talk about as well, you know what else? We protected our hearts. So please bear with that and walk with that. This protection in Christ is available and real. It doesn't mean life won't rock us. It doesn't mean that we won't be shook because of life. Because we all have a story to tell. But Jesus, he is the one who leads us. And we understand this as well. So as we continue on and we look at Scripture, a couple of things I want to mention to you, and this is the part of it, as we think about the whatevers in Scripture. I mean, Valley Girls, whatever. Remember that back in the day? People still say that. And Scripture talks about the whatevers. And it's amazing when you think about that. And it's fantastic because these Scriptures are part of the joy in the Lord as well. When we can figure this stuff out and understanding the joy of the Lord is a gift as well, that joy itself is a gift from the Holy Spirit, we can look at these whatevers in Scripture and have a deep sense of joy. So you'll see the whatever's on the screen there. And as you think that, and this is Philippians 4, right? It talks about this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So let's go over this quickly. True, this idea that truth is the opposite of being dishonest or relying on things that are unreliable. So when we talk about true, we're talking about relying on Christ because he is reliable. He is the truth. And so when you think about whatever is true, you're leaning on Jesus. And in the leading of Jesus, we will live in a such a way, knowing full well that he is exactly who he says he is, that he is reliable. And scripture tells us that. Noble refers to this idea of being worthy of respect and living in such a way that is dignified because of Jesus. And we live that way as well. So how well do we do that in our lives? What do we think about when we think about things that are true and noble and worthy as well? And that we would conform to what? God's standard. And that's what the right means there as well. That we would do that. We would walk in such a way that we conform to God's standards, not the world's standards. And we conform to God's standards and not our own standards. And there's a vast difference in that. And so you consider that as well. We're pure. This idea of being wholesome and not mixing our morality and our purity with other things and how we think in our heart and our spirit. And what we look at and what we talk about, that's important to understand that we are pure in that. And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lovely. Talks about this idea when you look at the Greek, and this is all in the Greek of all of this, I'm unpacking that for us. This idea of lovely, this is really about promoting peace rather than conflict. You know, to understand that, that when we look at things that are lovely, we're looking at things that are biblical that are going to cause us to walk in relationship with each other in peace rather than conflict. And for us, as Christ followers, if we are going to have joy in the Lord, we can't have conflict with one another that has not been figured out. You can have disagreements, you can have those other conversations, and if you work it all out, it's a good thing. But when disagreements and there's a lack of peace and there's conflict, it's like a festering wound that just sits there. And it gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't heal itself. You actually need to put medicine on that wound. Whether it's a fresh Band-Aid, penicillin, antibiotics, that wound will not take care of itself. I recently had a wound on my leg, and I had to go to the emergency services during the evacuation because it was so painful. And the antibiotics I had were not working. So I had to go to a doctor, he had to open it up, and then drained it all out, and now it's much better. But if I left it there, just festering, it would have gotten worse and worse and worse. And it's the same thing with conflict. Do you have conflict with someone today? I'm talking about a situation that's gone on for a long time. I'm talking about perhaps there's forgiveness that needs to be offered, perhaps there's a conversation that needs to take place. That's the lovely sign of Scripture. Where are you at this morning? I mean, we live in Edson, and we're a small community. And I hear a lot of things as a pastor in this community. And being fully transparent with y'all, there's a lot of conflict out there amongst churches and people. It's there, it's live, it's real, and seemingly, many aren't willing to do anything about it. They're letting it fester and sit there. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. So where are you at with that? So what the scripture tells us, focus on those things. Admirable. That we would, again, this ties in this idea that we would be more constructive in how we live with each other versus being so negative and destructive in what we do to one another. And scripture's telling us is this, when we do this, we will have a deeper sense of joy. It's an important thing to consider. Now, these things we're talking about this morning are really attributes of our heart and our mind. And we need to focus on these things in order to deepen our relationship with Jesus, but also with each other. So as you come here this morning, do you know of an open wound in your life that perhaps has been given to you from someone else that has not been figured out or healed yet? Perhaps you have come this morning and you have wounded someone else, and that needs to be taken care of. It's important action to follow through on. So we think about joy, and maybe some more biblical attributes of joy. It's a theme in the scriptures. It's everywhere. I'm not going to cover all of it right now, but I just want to give you a couple of thoughts here. Luke 15, it talks about when one person repents and comes to Christ, there is joy. The angels celebrate. We recognize it as well. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's a gift from God. Do we know that joy? Knowing Christ results in having joy. 1 Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Nehemiah 10, in terms of strength, it talks about this and us. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready for the day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It was actually a command that day to celebrate because there was so much downcast going on. They're focused on their circumstances, and Nehemiah was saying, enough, enough, let's celebrate. And again, it's a choice as well as we read this morning that rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, we can choose to be grumpy. We can choose to be negative. We can choose to look at our life and say, woe is me. Or we can choose joy, because it is a choice every single one of us makes every single day. It doesn't mean that you are going to wake up and you're going to take on the world because you're so excited no matter what's wrong. It means there's going to be days. Are you going to cry? Are you going to be sad? Or are you going to be discouraged? But in the midst of that, you hang on to the anchor of joy and the hope that comes in it, and not let that anchor pull you down to the depths of the seas of despair. That joy is, think of it as a life jacket for us. That when life comes, we will rejoice in the Lord. And James 1 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or perseverance, depending on what version of the Bible you are reading. So when I consider the words of the Apostle Paul in this situation when he wrote about rejoicing in the Lord and having joy, he was in a tough spot. And we all come here this morning, those watching along as well. I'm not sure where you're at. I know where some of you are at, because some of you reach out and share your story with me and where you're, what's going on, and continue to pray and walk with you as best as we can. I want you to consider this, just a simple illustration in your head. Fuel for our vehicles. We all put fuel in our vehicles. We diesel, high octane, my little car takes regular gas. I will be here for that. Gas is expensive. Think about your fuel tank. And that gauge that you see on your dashboard. It's simple to consider this morning. You've got your empty, you've got your full, you've got your halfway gauge. We all have one, some of us are digital, some are analog. If you were to ask yourself this question this morning, your joy quotient, your joy capacity, and compare it to a fuel tank, just that simple deal, where would you put yourself on that deal? E is the empty, F is the full. And we all are going to go back and forth, I understand that. But at the end of the day, typically speaking, how consistent are you in your life when it comes to joy? And where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? See, I think what beautiful about joy as well, I believe it fully can keep the way we live each day consistent. You know, sometimes you know some people that are just moody. You just don't know what you're going to get the next day. You all know somebody like that. And you're like, which one am I going to get? I don't know. But when we have joy, I believe that consistently stays there because of what? The peace that comes from Christ that we can never fully understand. And that's why these conversations we've read this morning and heard about from the Apostle Paul and other scriptures, that joy is so valuable and important. It's a great witnessing tool as well. So you ask yourself that question this morning, where are you at on the gauge? And what do you need to do to perhaps shift that gauge more to the full side? Obviously, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Have you surrendered to the Spirit? To ask the Spirit to fill you with joy, the strength of the Lord. Is there something in your life that is robbing you of joy today? Perhaps it's a sin you're dabbling in. It could be a thought life, it could be things you're watching, it could be things you're saying. It could be an attitude that you have that people look at you and I don't want anything to do with that person because your countenance is so negative. That affects our joy. Because now we're living out of happiness and not joy. Are you asking yourself these hard questions? I ask myself that question often. You know, I can be moody. I don't want to be moody. But when I focus on the joy of the Lord, I feel like my life is filled with so much hope. And I'm not living in my flesh. And I can tell when I live in my flesh. So friends, this morning, do you know the joy of the Lord? And if you've come here today and there's something again that's hindering you and you need prayer, you need some encouragement, I'm available, others available as well, the worship team. Talk about these things. It's important because Satan wants us to be alone. He doesn't want us to share what's really going on in our spirit with anyone. He wants us to feel isolated. And Jesus is saying, come, all that are weary and burdened. Come. And that's what we should be doing with one another. Find a safe place. I encourage you to do that. Don't let the shackles of sin rob you of the joy that comes in Christ. We have one crack of this life. And I think it's imperative for us as Christians to live with joy so we can be a witness. And we can show people that the power of the Holy Spirit is real and who we are. So we're going to pray. I just want us to take a moment of silence and ask the Spirit to check your heart. Where are you at? And if you are the empty part, or if you're on the full part, I want to mention this though. If you're on the E, if you're feeling that way, you're not a bad person. It doesn't make you a bad person. We're all broken in the eyes of Christ, and we're saved by grace. And we are sinners, but we're saved by grace. So don't think if you're feeling terrible or you haven't read the Bible or whatever, you are not a bad person because you are saved by grace. We're only good because of Christ. So please recognize that. Don't beat yourself up that you have to be at the F for full. It's a journey. And we want to encourage one another to get closer and closer by the power of the Holy Spirit to the F so we can walk in joy together. Let's quiet our hearts, take a moment. Lord, as we think about joy, as we think about what that means to have an attitude and a steadfastness in you, because you are so faithful, as we think about the gauge of our life, I know, Lord, we can't artificially create joy and to move that gauge on our own. We can only do that through the help of the Holy Spirit. We can only do that with a heart of humility. We can only do that with a heart that is open to the life, power, and change of the cross. And Lord, I pray for every single one here today, for those watching online, that Lord, if there's things in our life that are causing us to not have joy, to not even have hope in you anymore. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to cut those things off. Even perhaps it's a relationship that is causing us so much strife that we need to have an honest conversation. Because that relationship is keeping us up all night because we're worried about it. And there's a disconnect. And I pray, Lord, if that's the case, that conversations would take place. Lord, if there's a festering wound of unforgiveness or bitterness, that is existing in our church and in our community. Lord, be quite honest, I know there's things that are real that are in conflict. And I know when I look at the situations that are going on, I can often see it through my own humanity, but you see it much deeper than I can. So Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for hope, encouragement, humility, and I pray, Lord, that joy would be deepened because of you. The peace that surpasses all understanding that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for each one today. As we continue to worship you, Lord, I pray that we would not leave this place if we need to have a conversation, if we need prayer or encouragement, and we would be able to walk in such a way that when the enemy looks at us, he can see that the joy of the Lord